Are you tired of booming traffic, loud commercials, angry politicians, and just all of the noise? Have we got a new choice for you. It's Festive Foreign Film Fans Light.
What about the yammering co-hosts?
Bound and gagged.
What about the audio talents of Jake Fontana?
Tending to his baby number two.
What about the movies, the traditions, and all those foods that you can't eat because you're on Ozempic?
All gone. It's the podcast that's not really a podcast. We like to call it radio.
So, if we're talking about Brazil on the Festive Fans, you'll get sexy Santa salsa music on Light. When the fans discuss Mexico, Light will have merry mariachi music. And when it's time for Japan on Festive Fans, Light will just play sukiyaki 20 times in a row while Jake shakes some jingle bells.
I really liked the first 19 times, but I'm really bored now.
And we also have our very first sponsor, Mark and Bob's Sleep Gummies. Not made with THC, but with TLC.
We've repackaged fruit snacks.
Wow!
With our new show and snacks, you'll be off to Sleepy Town in no time.
Listen now. It's the Festive Fans without the fans. Hey, I don't think that sounds right.
Festive Foreign Film Fans Light. It's just radio. It's radio. It's literally all it is.
The following podcast contains graphic descriptions of international celebrating and global merrymaking. It may not be suitable for angry or unhappy audience members. Listener discretion is advised. You've been warned.
Have you ever seen any of those foreign films? I don't like them.
God, you! Christmas last for you.
Some are born great, others achieve greatness, and some watch Christmas movies.
Bon Natale!
We are the Wild and Crazy Guys!
Festive Foreign Film Fan Special! Royal English Christmas / New Year's Triple Stuffed Podcast Episode Extravaganza!
In the last episode, Mark and Bob had crossed the Atlantic to ye old Merry England to begin a festive journey through the country's pubs to understand its Dickens-inspired holiday traditions and to get, well, a bit pissed. Along the way, the boys have found some locals to share their personal memories of the season. As we left them last time, Mark was about to introduce one of those limey English blokes, and Bob was about to get refills as they continue their adventure to discover what makes the Christmas season so meaningful on this side of the pond.
Our next guest, Bob, I'm going to introduce him because I know you guys are just really close. So it's our great pleasure to interview Jack Ford from the Total Christmas Podcast. This was the first podcast I listened to after Bob made me do this podcast with him, just to sort of get a sense of like what is a really good podcast sounds like. We want to offer him this opportunity to provide his insights into the festive traditions and celebrations that define the holiday season in the UK.
It's our great pleasure to interview Jack Ford from the Total Christmas Podcast. We have Jack to thank for our podcast. It was because he encouraged his listeners to submit their memories and special gifts they got over the years. And so when I decided to submit something to him, I didn't even know how to record it. I didn't even know what to do. I Googled and I figured out I could record on my phone and send it to him. So I was like, okay, that was easy. I could do that. And then I had this idea about submitting something else. And then I had been thinking this idea about a podcast like we do about foreign Christmas movies. And there was one person who I asked about doing a show. And I actually had him review our first show. And that was Jack. So really, Jack has been the inspiration. And so when we decided we were going to do England. We've held off for 3 years to cover England only because you kind of almost feel like once you do England, what else is left in the world? They set the bar for Christmas. Our Christmas episode has been an important one, a big one. We did Russia and Ukraine during our first season, and then we did Israel and Palestine in the second season. And this year, we thought we wanted to do something real positive and our supersized show about England. So we're reaching out to our friends, of which Jack is number one. First question we had for Jack is, we know his daughters have a podcast. We've heard them sing, and he refers to his wife. And what we want to know is, he lives in a household of three women who are also way more talented, way smarter, way better looking than him. How is it that he's the one that ended up with the podcast?
So I listen to podcasts all day because I'm a gardener, and I was always listening thinking, well, I could do that. And so I did it. That's pretty much it, really. I thought, do you know what? There can't be anyone with a Christmas podcast out there, because I love Christmas. I could do a Christmas podcast for all year round. And then I looked into it, and there's a few out there. And by the time I actually got my podcast out, I was competing with a lot.
What I find interesting about yours is it's not exclusively like where Adam's is all about just British. Yours is really just about Christmas in general.
It's the total Christmas podcast.
Oh, that's right. Good news.
It's right in the name. Come on.
That's the idea. I wanted it to be everything about Christmas. So it's your one-stop shop, Bob. Your one-stop shop.
Have you always been a Christmas fan?
I think when you're a kid, everyone's a fan, aren't they? Ralphie talks about it in A Christmas Story. And the way his life revolves around Christmas at that time of year, I think for every kid, I think that's what it's like. And I was like that as a kid. But I remember thinking about Christmas all year round. And there's an episode of The Simpsons, and I think it's a summer episode. And Lisa says something to Bart, like, are you thinking what I'm thinking? And it cuts to Bart's head, and he's imagining stealing Santa's sleigh at gunpoint and flying off a bit. And that's in the summer. And I remember thinking, that's what it's like as a kid. My kids are now, they're talking to me about Christmas in the middle of summer, or even in the springtime or Easter, because Christmas is so huge when you're a kid. And I never really lost that. What Christmas was for me as a child was all about the presents and spending time with the family, but mainly the presents. And then as a teenager, it was about, or an older teenager, it was about getting drunk. And then now, it's about my girls. And I love Christmas all over again as a dad. It's everything about it. Because I've always found Christmas incredibly interesting. Like the traditions and how it's evolved over the years. And I'm a huge fan, as you know, of like A Christmas Carol. When I talk to some people about my podcast, it's about Christmas. They think, well, what can you talk about Christmas? But they've no idea just how much there is to talk about. I'm on my fifth year now, and I'm not running out of stuff at all. There's still plenty.
Were you worried when you first started that, oh, maybe it would take away some of the specialness? So by the time December came around, you'd be like, I've been talking about this all year. I'm sick of it.
Do you know what? I'm never sick of it, but sometimes I do think it might be taking the edge off it a little bit. But now that Christmas is coming, or Christmas is even here, no, because the magic's starting for everyone else around me. So it's like the podcast is quite insular, and it's just me doing it. But then when you've got Christmas is around you, and you're walking down the street and the lights are up and you're getting the tree in and everything like that, it's all just magical again.
Thinking about your own Christmases and how you grew up, do you do some of the same things that you did, like with your own family, with the girls and your wife?
I don't really talk about my Christmas as a child much. I've talked more about my Christmas as a teenager. It was a pretty standard family. It was three kids, and we'd have a proper family Christmas. Christmas Day was the big day, and then Boxing Day was always the extended family. And one year we'd go to my mum's sister's, and then the following year they'd come to us with their kids. We've created in our family a lot of traditions, me and my wife and the girls. But with my mum and dad, it was more just Christmas Day was a family day. Christmas Eve, we might go and see my grandma. That was another thing. So we'd head out to, she lives in one of the next cities across, and we'd go and visit her. And quite often my cousins would be there as well. So that was a little thing of an evening. But I can't really think of many like traditions that we'd actually have. It's now that I've created loads of different things that we do every single year. And the girls, they get excited about each of those little things we do as you progress up to Christmas. I've made a list of all the things. So we try and go to see A Christmas Carol at the theatre. This is the third year. And this year, we've actually already been twice. And we may well be going again. So then come the start of December, because that's normally before December, the Christmas Carol. But then come the start of December, we go out First chance we get to cut a Christmas tree, we all go as a family to do that. We buy two trees, one for the kitchen, one for the living room. And then Ralph on the Shelf turns up, of course, and the girls get their advent calendars. Then on Christmas Eve, we go to the theatre again, and that's normally a panto. We've been doing that many years now, since Junior was a baby. And we visit a friend of mine, an old guy, who's a magician, and I always could take him a big tin of biscuits to just say thanks for his help throughout the year. And then there's a pub near us, and every year they have an evening where a local group come in and sing carols. So we book a table and have a meal in the restaurant, normally Christmas dinner, like a turkey or a roast or whatever. And then they come in, a bunch of them, and they collect money and they sing Christmas carols and they give everyone song sheets and you can all join in. We've been doing that since Robin was one. So I think we're coming up to our 10th year now. And a few years ago, they were just about to start Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And I was like, hang on. Let me lead you into it. And I did the whole, you know, Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen. And I've been doing that for the last 3 years. And the guy came up to me last year and he's like, oh, can you come, you know, are you going to come and do your line? I was like, yeah. And this year, I've said, when he comes up and says, you're going to do the line, I'm going to, nope, I'm not doing it, but my girls are. And they've been practicing it for the last couple of weeks. So they're ready now. The girls are going to sing the line before they start Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And then sometime before Christmas, normally my wife will go out with her friends. And this is my tradition. And I've been doing this for well over 10 years. I have the room to myself. I put on a massive pot of mulled wine. And I chuck on some of my favourite Christmas specials, like Christmas Eve on Sesame Street, maybe Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, a couple of those. And then I watch the 1951 version of Scrooge and get drunk on mulled wine. There's something so much better about getting drunk when Christmas music is playing. That's a real special time, that is. I really love that. So then, Christmas Eve, after we've been to the theatre and seen George, we played Blind Man's Buff. And we started playing Blind Man's Buff a while ago just because it's a great game to play with the kids when they were little. But there's a bit in A Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you remember the line. It's only one line, but Bob rushes home to play Blind Man's Buff with the family. So that's what we do. Because Bob rushes home to play on Christmas Eve, that's why we play it. And then we'll watch a film.
Jack, people could hire you to come up with fun stuff to do. This list is amazing.
Oh, and then Boxing Day, our Boxing Day now is very similar to when I was a kid. So my wife's got two sisters, and what they do is they take it in turns each year for all the family to go to one of their houses. And we all meet up on Christmas Eve, on Boxing Day. And for my girls, they love that because that's like a second Christmas Day because they get a load more presents. That's when we share the present for that side of the family. Boxing Day is a great day, but it's sort of like when you eat the leftovers of Christmas dinner.
You just went through a list that I am going to mark down and do all those same things this year. I didn't realize all the traditions that you have.
I didn't talk about my Christmas Day. So our Christmas Day, obviously the girls, Father Christmas has been, or Santa Claus, he's been. So the girls get up and they open their presents. And then we normally, on Christmas Day, we'll put on Santa Claus the movie. And then we go out and there's an old man that lives up the road that my girls are sort of friendly with. They always chat to him when he's walking his dog. And we always go and say hello to him, drop off a tub of biscuits for him as well. And when we come home, we stand in the street and we just wave at the cars. And sometimes they'll beep or sometimes they'll wave. And it's really nice because it's Christmas Day. Everyone's in a good mood. You know, they're going to see their loved ones. So, but then as they're driving, you see that their face light up a little bit more when they see two little girls and middle-aged man stood there waving at him. And we normally have Christmas hats on or tinsel around our shoulders, that, you know, a garland of tinsel. They know we're not just weirdos.
Oh, you're weirdos, but you're nice weirdos.
Yeah, that's it. We're very good. And then Christmas Day, it used to be every year we'd go to my mum and dad's. But then a couple of years ago, my mum and dad came to us, and now we're going to alternate every year. But that's our Christmas Day. And then we come home and we'll just spend a quiet evening. And of course, the King's Speech, which used to be the Queen's Speech, but we do watch that.
It seems like there's two older neighbors that are part of your traditions.
Yeah. Yeah. We go in his house and just wish him a Merry Christmas. We don't stay long. We just sort of pop around, stand on a doorstep for 5 minutes, just wish him a Merry Christmas. It's just nice to go and see him. I think we did it 1 year and I would just like doing it every year.
Well, Jack, I think we need you to educate us about the country in general. Give us some of the common customs, foods, things that we should know.
Okay, so pantomime. So normally a pantomime is a stage show with lots of audience participation, and it will normally be a fairy tale like Snow White, Cinderella, something like that. The bigger cities will have famous people, maybe like soap stars or sports stars sometimes. They'll have quite a decent cast on there as part of the show. And it's, if you, without seeing it, it's hard for me to explain it, but it's just a really fun take on one of the famous stories that you'd be familiar with, normally like a Disney princess type story, you know.
Yeah.
And we go, we've been going every year. Christmas Eve's not always panto. That tends to run from early or mid-December all the way through to the first week in January, so you can go then. So that's a big thing for a lot of people, the panto. It's not just the big theatres in the cities. It's also like the local Amdrams, they'll do a panto as well. So I think last year we saw two. We went to see two last year. Until we had kids, Carlo and I, we never went. And I didn't go after I'd left my late teens. After having kids, now we go, you suddenly realise just how popular it is, because you talk to other families and they've all been, especially to the bigger ones. It is a real family thing, the panto. And but it's also the audience participation. So, you know, they're always chatting to the audience. It's not just a show that you watch. You are part of it. They'll come out and they'll go, hello, boys and girls. And you have to and they'll get you to shout certain things throughout. And there's always boo and hiss. Are you familiar with that sort of thing?
Yeah.
So you get all that. And he's behind you and stuff. It's a lot of it's a bit kiddish, but the humour, they'll work it on two levels. So there's jokes that the kids will get and there's jokes that the grown-ups will get as well. And quite often, things will go wrong. But you know, if you're a grown-up, you know that they probably scripted it for it to go wrong. But to the untrained eye, you might think, oh no, that went wrong. But you're actually, you know, but they do it in a funny way because it's all-inclusive. Everyone in the audience is part of it as well. And they might be throwing things out into the audience for people to catch. Cotton snowballs, things like that they might throw out and you throw them back and say loads of audience participation. It really is a great, big, fun experience. What is more popular is going to your local pub and getting drunk. And that's quite a big night down the pub. That is, when I was younger, that would be, you'd go back to your village or town where you kept your old local from when you were a teenager and you'd see all the old faces from the old days and everyone would be there getting hammered.
Would that be on Christmas Eve? People would actually go out?
Yeah, Christmas Eve. Now, it was a family day for me. And when I was younger, obviously. But when you're sort of like a teenager or when you're single, really, I suppose. Or if you haven't got kids, because me and Carla were still going out Christmas Eve. That was a big night to go out. Christmas food. I think the main things with Christmas food that might be different to the US and things that most people will be familiar with is, of course, nearly everyone has turkey and Brussels sprouts. Do you have Brussels sprouts with your Christmas dinner?
It's not as common. I think some people do, but it's nowhere near as common as it is in England.
Pigs in blankets. Our pigs in blankets are different to what you might be used to. Very small sausages wrapped in bacon. Double pig in it. And then, of course, Christmas pudding, which I don't know how popular Christmas puddings are, but we always have one. My mum makes a fantastic Christmas pudding. She still only puts 20p pieces in it. And 20p, you can't buy much for 20p. That's worth a little bit more than 20, maybe worth a quarter. That's about what it's worth. And she could at least put a pound coin in there, but she doesn't. And every year I tell her, look, stop putting 20p in, put a pound in at least. And mince pies. Now, I know mince pies aren't a thing in the US, sadly at all. Did I send you some, Bob?
You did, and they were good. They were really
good. You liked them? You did like them?
Yeah, I've never had them before. Never.
And of course, Christmas crackers, which is something that you've experienced now, Bob, as well, yeah?
Yes.
In the UK, there are lots of crackers, and they're a massive letdown. When you put them, they don't make a massive bang. It's a little crack. But it's the first thing you do. You sit down, you open your crackers, you try and find the tat that fell out of it. You tell the jokes. You go around the table, everyone will tell their joke that you're getting the cracker, and then you put on your paper hat. I've always kept my paper hat on as long as it will stay on. It's just one of those things that I, you know, always do. So come the evening, I might still have it on my head if I'm lucky. And it always bothers me when people, they might put it on and then they'll take it off almost straight away. And I think, no, this is the height of fashion. And of course, the Christmas number one. It seems to have sort of waned in popularity a little bit in the last few years because of streaming and that. But what song is that Christmas number one in the charts is a big thing. And it's been highly contested for many years. And in the build up to Christmas, it's gone through phases. Sometimes you'll have a massive battle for who's going to be the Christmas number one. And, it, you know, be in the papers each day, like who's selling the most records and that sort of thing. and you can bet on it, and the bookies as well. Yes, it's a really big thing. It is not as big as it used to be, sadly. I think the problem is because of streaming.
What is your favorite English Christmas movie and Christmas song?
Okay, I'm not going to go with my favorites.
Okay.
Because I want to go with, well, I can tell you my favorites. My favorite British Christmas, there's not that many, actually. I don't know what you've gone with, but there's a lot that were made in the UK, like Santa Claus the Movie, which is very popular, and it was filmed in the UK. Muppet Christmas Carol was filmed in the UK. Love Actually is a British film, and I don't mind that one. Scrooge, I'd say, the Alistair Sim version is my favourite version. No, it's not. Muppet Christmas Carol is, but Scrooge is my second favourite, but that's my favourite British film. But the one film that I wanted to suggest is Nativity, starring Martin Freeman from the British Office. They've made four Nativity films now. Martin Freeman's only in the first one. And it's about a school Nativity play that Martin Freeman's putting on. And he makes the mistake of suggesting that people from Hollywood are going to come over and film it. And so he has to try and get that, he has to try and make that happen. They show it frequently over here. And my girls absolutely love it. They'll be watching that sometimes in summer. They'll chuck it on. For them, that's the one British film that they love.
So what's your song?
I'm going to pick Merry Christmas Everybody by Slade.
So here it is, Merry Christmas, everybody's having fun. Look to the future now, it's only just begun. So here it is, Merry Christmas, everybody.
I know this didn't really make it over in the US because I did play it for Scott Newman. There's two that are from the 70s that are massive and they get played all the time, and it's Merry Christmas Everybody and I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day. And that was one of the first massive battles for the Christmas number one, which we talked about earlier. Merry Christmas Everybody won and I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day sort of came in at number two or three. But every year they get massive airplay. And I love them because that brings back massive memories of me when I was a kid. And they're still popular now as they were then. It's such a lively song as well. It's not one, when you're a kid, you want lively music. You want songs you can sing along and dance to, especially at Christmas. You don't need a slow one. And so that's like a real party song that everyone can sing along to and everyone loves. It's like an anthem, Christmas anthem. So not my favourite, certainly a real classic that sadly doesn't get more airplay around the world.
All right, let's listen to some music from England.
This calls for some Christmas music.
Yes, this Christmas music.
What kind of Christmas music is that?
At least you could do is play some Christmas music.
And now back to Christmas music.
Do they have Christmas music?
You know, they don't actually. So again, I don't want to insult our Jack, you know, but the Totally Christmas, really, it's about America.
You were pretty queen of New York City when the band finished playing. They held out for more. Sinatra was swinging, all the jokes they were singing. We kissed on the corner, then danced through the night.
What song is that?
That is Fairy Tale of New York by the
Pogues.
Yeah. Featuring Christy McCall, is widely considered the most popular Christmas song in the UK. It was voted the most popular Christmas song in the UK in a survey by PRS for Music. It was also the most played Christmas song on British radio. Surprisingly, it is not about Father Christmas, snow, or sleigh rides, but about lost youth, America, and ruined dreams. It was released in 1987 and has re-entered the top 20 every December since 2005. Wow. And shows no sign of losing its appeal. It is frequently cited as the best Christmas song of all time in various television, radio, and magazine-related polls in the UK and Ireland, including the UK television special on ITV in December 2012, when it was voted the nation's favorite Christmas song. However, it is not without controversy for its lyrics. In November 2020, the BBC again announced that Radio 1 would play a censored version and stations could decide for themselves which version to play. And since 2022, Radio 2 has played the edited version supplied by the record company with the offending words muted or changed.
Now, Mark, if I were you, last year I was in a bar called McSorley's in New York City. It is the oldest bar in New York City. And in fact, that when you go to order a beer, they ask you dark or light, and the beers are just in these little glasses, and that's all they have, and they make their own beer, and it's been there like over 100 years. It was, I think, December 23rd, and the night was so perfect because it's very much like an English pub. I wanted to sing this song and get the whole bar to sing it.
Yeah.
And I was like humming it and trying to get, and no one would pick it up. Oh. But I felt that if I could sing, I could have done it. And I was so close to doing it.
It's such a great song.
It's Christmas dinner.
Eat it, eat it, eat it, eat it.
Food they put out for Christmas Eve.
Eat it, eat it, eat it, eat it.
Most of your major food preparation holidays, Christmas.
Eat it.
What's up, food for Santa?
Eat it.
There's no chili. No, chili's not a festive food.
So, Bob, for Silent Bite, right, today, we're going to go in the next chapter. We're taking this up another level. This is like a Yuletide miracle.
Did you get me a gift?
Yeah, kind of. I mean,
what?
Our listeners will remember, you know, about three episodes ago, Bob shared with us his quest to find pierogies online. He had this exhaustive research, went to all these different sites, but in the end, he netted us with zero options to buy this delicacy online.
Although I have a pierogi ashtray, if you want one.
I have a pierogi hat and underwear, to be honest with you. But the one place Bob did not look was, now wait for this, you'll never guess, but I found these pierogies on Etsy.
What, are they made of paper mache or what?
Thanks to Gary Dickerson, he told me about a woman, her name of her product is Latvian Goodies, and she makes them in the kitchen. These pierogies are directly from Sheboygan.
Is that a country?
Yes, it's a country within the walls of Wisconsin. So I contacted Inga, and she sent me some pierogies. So today, we're going to put a stop to the ordering and finally start salivating. It's no more quibbling. We're going to be nibbling. We're going to quit all our speaking and turn to eating. We're going to record our introduction to those special little pastry pillows that we call pierogi. I've taken off my pants. I mean, I've loosened our belts. I've loosened our belts. I cleared our arteries and prepared our taste buds. We are more ready for bacon than we've ever been. Although these are not the official buns that we'll prepare in the future.
This is awesome.
Yeah, we need to start somewhere. And so we need to throw down the gauntlet and prepare the great pierogi taste test.
Oh my goodness.
I know Jake has been salivating over the microwave all day and packing these frozen snacks, peeling back the corner of the plastic film with expert precision and nuking them with perfect symmetry and presentation. That's not really true, guys. I really baked them. So, Jake, Bob, I want you to smell them.
Mm. Just take it's like wine. Ooh, smell they smell it. Good. Smell. Mm.
Just little nibble.
Oh.
That's Bob.
Okay.
Bob, nibble.
I got to get to the bacon.
Nibble. Now chomp. Go for it. Stick it in there. Chomp down on it.
Chomp it. Now I got the bacon.
The dough sort of reminds me of when you put dough around a hot dog and you bake it.
Mm-hmm. Mark, I'm on number two.
I haven't finished one yet.
I know. I'm trying to savor number one.
Guys, I hope this sounds as good as it tastes because this is pretty wicked.
These seem kind of hard to make. The dough.
I agree.
And, oh,
The dough, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, dough's complex.
I was thinking the same thing. I have a feeling what the mix of the bacon and onions and stuff, that'll be pretty easy in the skillet. But how do you make this dough so fluffy? I know,
because it's kind of almost like croissant-ish. I like it's not totally that. It has more substance, but it's really good.
The bacon's kind of sausage-y, something I'm kind of picking up on.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Different kind of pork taste. Now, one of the things we're going to have to decide...
If we can make these 3 feet wide.
There you go.
That could be incredible.
I know.
In our research, we've heard some people consider this a breakfast food. Mm-hmm. Some consider it a appetizer or to be served over a light lunch. Any strong opinions on that now that you've tasted it?
Oh, this works for literally every single meal, I feel like. It does. This could be anything.
I could see taking this with me in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Appetizers, absolutely. A party food, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're saying stuff a couple of pierogies in your pocket as you're heading to work?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Some pocket pierogies.
I could see like stitching them together and wearing them as a shirt.
Ooh. At least a pierogi necklace.
So I can nibble on them throughout the day.
I know you and I, and I think Jake, have all attended beer festivals where you see people with pretzels.
Mm-hmm.
What if you had pierogies? We'd be the only ones.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah. That would be awesome. Mark, this is the best gift.
They're so good.
Oh, man.
I really like these.
Hey, whatever we do, let's not tell Tor, Sue, or Mary Ellen that we tested these, okay? Can we, like, block them from hearing this?
Yes, I think we can.
Because, I mean, technically, we could have shared them.
They're busy.
I'm not sharing.
They're busy. Yeah.
I might have to go watch Christmas Carol again because I don't feel like sharing these at all.
Oh, no.
I see them coming to the door with their hands out and slamming the door.
I don't want this to be over.
I know. I'm sad. I'm on my last one.
I know. I finished mine. That's all bad. I ate them so fast. Oh, my goodness. You know, I kind of like that they're small.
I totally agree.
Well, I could eat 100 of these easily. Well,
that's the problem. Mm-hmm. I could totally see it.
I see this in lights. The Northern Illinois pierogi eating competition. Hey, look what they did on Coney Island.
Yes, yep.
Right?
Exactly.
Look how small that started. Joey Chestnut, nobody knew who he was. Now he's on ESPN. He's got endorsements.
Now that makes a lot of sense. So they have that one for the 4th of July. This could be a Christmas one.
Yeah, there we go.
Doesn't he eat like over 100 hot dogs?
The only problem is the way that they have to eat them. They like dip them in water and weird stuff like that. I just want to enjoy these.
Not giving respect to the pierogi.
Sort of just give somebody in like an hour to eat them. Maybe 2 hours.
Yes. And have a giant bowl of them and I could just eat them like they're chocolates. Toss a couple back in my mouth.
Seriously, how many do you think you could eat? Do you think you could eat a dozen of these in one sitting?
Easily.
Yeah. Easily. Yeah, I could.
Maybe 2 dozen.
That might fill me up, but definitely a dozen.
Mm-hmm. If these were at a party and just out, I would be grazing on them constantly. And by, I don't know, halfway through the party, I'd be uncomfortable.
Jake, that's totally me. I can see myself walking by, grabbing another one, finding reasons can I get you a drink? And walk by the fries.
You can see like a couple different kinds of sauces with these.
Wait, you're going to dip these in something?
Part of our exploration. Mm. We might have to come up with a dipping sauce, too.
What are you thinking, Jake? What's your initial thought?
I wonder if it's sacrilegious, though, in like Latvian culture. Be like, how dare you get a dipping sauce for this pierogi and not savor and appreciate the dough?
You have to have the traditional. Remember they said they've done some vegan, they add different fillings so we could have a sauce on the side to try.
Yeah, Bobby Flay it.
I might throw a hot dog in there.
Ooh.
That's kind of more like
pigs in a blanket.
Is there just not enough pork for you, Mark?
Is there ever enough pork in any recipe?
Well, we do have to talk to Eric about smoking, too. Smoking our bacon, too.
We do.
That's going to add in a whole new element as well.
By the time we get to do this, football will be over, so that would be okay. This is something, guys.
Do you mind if I lay on the floor for the rest of the episode?
Seriously, I did loosen my belt before I sat down. I can turn away if you want to do yours.
I'm going to head off to Sheboygan while you guys record the rest of the episode.
Thank you. Say hi to Inga.
Will do.
She seems so nice, but we'll get Inga on the show.
And we're going to get a recipe.
We're going to maybe we'll make sure she gets to hear this before she comes on the show. She might be like, I got to listen to you guys moan.
Fans, that is our gift to you, listening to us eat.
This show's got to be nominated for some award.
There it is. There's another niche we'll hit.
Isn't there like podcast of the year?
Most disturbing moment on a podcast throughout the year.
That beat my expectations. The gauntlet has been down. We know now what we have to achieve. I agree with you, Bob. The inside, so tasty, but I'm not intimidated. But that dough.
I know. It's soft. It's fluffy. How do you do that?
And I know Gary told us about, what does he do? He scolds his flour.
Gotta yell at it.
Yes, I will yell at it.
I'm gonna beat it to a pulp.
Yeah, if it results in this. Should we sing a song or anything?
Hold hands. We should sing that pierogi song, remember? They said there was some song, some folk song.
There is. I don't remember what it is. Well, fans, I think we should, when we make the pierogies, should we share it with other people? Or should you and I and Jake make it, not share it?
I think we got to share, and then maybe Inga could be an inspiration. We'll send them to anyone. Like, if you win the trivia, we'll send you some of our pierogies.
True, we could freeze them.
Or maybe the people who lose the trivia.
Right.
A lot of pierogies.
Well, I need to go take a little nap.
Don't forget, we got trivia.
Ugh, make it easy.
Now we are off to find a Christmas star. One who we imagine could light up a tree with the spirit of the season. You might picture those who shine in the night sky, but in the world of golf, there's another kind of star. One who is recognized for his analytical approach and a relentless work ethic. And that star is Matt Fitzpatrick. He is a world-class professional golfer, and we are so lucky, he is from England. That's today's country, and Matt's journey from a young talent in Sheffield to a U.S. Open champion and a Ryder Cup hero is a tale of years of passion and perseverance. But none of that matters today, because we are not talking about fairways and greens. We're going to talk about Christmas. Matt, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Good to be here, Bob.
We're so happy to have you. And once again, you get to represent England in front of drunken, angry Americans. But we promise not to boo or throw out full beers at your wife. But for you, we'll see how this goes. All right, Matt. So congratulations. You're a top-ranked golfer. You're traveling the world. You get to play golf nearly every day. But what we want to know is this really how you imagined your life was going to be when you were growing up in Sheffield, England?
I can't say it is. No, it is a little bit different. I did want to be a golfer when I was younger. I also wanted to be a footballer, my kind of football, not your kind, but golf was the one that worked out. And here we are. I'm playing every day and enjoying my career so far.
It did kind of work out, didn't it?
It did. Yeah. So far, so good.
I'm just curious, because you're an athlete. Were you good at playing soccer?
I was okay. Yeah, I was okay. I could hold my own, but golf was probably a little bit easier for me, I think. Less physical.
Yeah, you seem to excel a little bit better at golf. Yeah. Right? Now, for us Americans, tell us, where is Sheffield located? And what's Sheffield like?
Yeah, so Sheffield's 3 hours north of London. I would say it's kind of the center. I mean, it's technically, people call it northern, which, you know, I'll probably agree with. And it's kind of a working class city. Steel city is kind of what it was known for, particularly during the war and after that. So where Sheffield is, that's where I'm from.
It's like that song, Life in a Northern Town. Now, here in the States, even if you're in the South or you're in the North, we pretty much still celebrate Christmas the same, although down South, you can get outside more and enjoy the weather. But here, you know, same customs, same food. Is that true in England as well?
Yeah, it's the same. North and South is basically the same. South might be a little bit fancier. I think North might be a little bit less fancy, given it's a bit more working class, down to earth, as I would like to say. Yeah, I would probably say it is pretty similar.
That's you, down to earth, none of this fancy stuff. Well, we have to cover an important topic here before we leave Sheffield now. Are you Sheffield United or Sheffield Wednesday?
It's an easy one. And Sheffield United, all day, every day.
They're number one fan, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I probably am, to be fair.
Have you ever been able to meet the team?
Yeah, I've been looking to spend some time with the players. I know the manager pretty well, so been nice to kind of get to know him a little bit. Not quite going as well as we would like this year, but still plenty of time left in the season.
So you cheer them on and they cheer you on, right?
Exactly.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious, did you watch Ted Lasso, the show here in the States?
I did. Yeah, I love Ted Lasso. They did a good job.
Oh, they did, of representing soccer in England?
Yeah, definitely. I thought it went down so well over here. And even coming back to America, the American people were like, oh, you know, do you like Ted Lasso? I said, yeah, it's awesome. And people have gotten into soccer a little bit more because of it, I think.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I think actually it created some fans here.
Yeah, big time.
They're in England. So tell me, what was it like growing up in England? We know you have a brother. Your brother's out there. And do you have any other siblings? And what were your Christmases like?
No, just the younger brother. My Christmases were always special. You know, just getting up in the morning. And normally what I'd have like a big plastic bag at the end of my bed and go to bed and it'd be empty. And then wake up in the morning and it's at the end of the bed and filled with gifts. And we'd go downstairs, take it down, open it, and there'd be gifts under the tree. And we'd have so much fun on Christmas mornings.
That is so interesting because I've heard that referenced before with English people that your custom was a big stocking at the end of your bed. Here, the gifts are under the tree.
Yeah, exactly. So it was a combination, I think. We had a lot of gifts under the tree as well, but the stocking stuff or the plastic bag was kind of probably a bit more specific, I think, to me and my brother. So I'd have my specific gifts and then he'd have his specific gifts.
Poor Father Christmas had to sneak in there while you're...
Exactly.
It's a lot harder. Now, I'm sure everybody wants to know, did you ever get golf clubs as a gift?
I didn't, no. I don't ever remember getting clubs as a Christmas gift. No, I actually didn't.
So how did you get into golf?
My dad got me into golf. So my dad played when he was a little bit younger, kind of like 14, 15, and he grew up playing. And then I just used to go hit balls with him when he was a member of his golf club. And yeah, just slowly got into it. I mean, I preferred football, but he kept dragging me to the golf course. And obviously, you know, it's paid off.
I always wondered, was there a moment where he turned to you and said, oh my gosh, you're pretty good.
You're
hitting them farther than me.
Not that I can clearly remember, but I'm sure there was a time that he thought that in his own head, yeah.
Now, how about special memories? Do you have any special Christmas memories?
Just being with my family has always been fun. Like, we don't have a big family. The Christmases growing up, it was me, my mum, dad, my brother, my mum's parents, my dad's parents, and then my mum's brother passed away when he was quite young. So, you know, it was just his wife and my cousin. So we only really had like a small get together, a small family, really. So just spending time with those, it was, you know, the most exciting thing. Probably the funniest thing was one time, and I don't know whose idea this was. However, my dad said, oh, we need to go to the shop to get some cream for the dessert. And I was like, and I didn't even twig at that point that it's Christmas Day, shops will be shut. I didn't even think. So we get in the car, we drive, we get there. It's 2 minutes down the street. We get there, it's closed. It's like, oh, it's closed. I thought it might be open. So we turn around, we get back, go into the house, and I walk into the dining room. And everybody in my family, probably 8, 9, 10 people, they've all got masks on of my face. And I don't know why it was so funny, but I thought it was very silly, but everyone thought it was hilarious. So yeah, that's kind of something I remember recently that was pretty comical.
That is so funny. And it reminds me, in those for the listeners, that I also have a t-shirt. Do you remember the shirt I have that has your big face on
it? I love that shirt. Wow.
So for us, what's a classic English Christmas? Like, what might be different to Christmas in England versus here in the States?
You know, I think they're actually pretty similar, I would say. I really do. Probably the only thing I would say is my wife's family, if they go to church on Christmas Eve or sometimes Christmas Day in the morning. That's never been a thing for my family. I think it's less of a thing in the UK. But I think, you know, in terms of food, in terms of routines, I think timings and stuff, I think it's very similar. The only thing that I will say that I actually got from your family, Bob, that I absolutely love and I'm very jealous of, is that you guys do Italian. And that's what Quinn told me when I was a freshman in college with him. So you guys do Italian and I would love that on Christmas Day. I don't particularly like Christmas Day food. So Italian sounds way better to me.
What's funny too is Quinn doesn't like Thanksgiving food either. And we don't really do turkey on Thanksgiving either.
It's brilliant. I love it.
Tell us, what is Boxing Day?
Because I know you have that in England.
It's a great question, and I couldn't answer that myself. The only thing that I know about Boxing Day that is consistent is that there's no football matches played on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve. There's always football on Boxing Day, which is the day after Christmas. So all I know it for is that there's always football on Boxing Day. So that's what I know it as an English person. That's what it's famous for to me.
And it's your favorite holiday then, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's a full day of football from like 10 a.m. to 5, 7 p.m., yeah.
I just wish we could borrow that because, you know, there are some people that actually have to go back to work the day after Christmas.
Yeah, I know.
Now that you are living here in the States, what is different, do you think, in celebrations of Christmas here in the States versus England?
I think it's a little bigger. I don't know. It's people do things big in America. I feel like America does things bigger and better for the most part. So, you know, Christmas decorations are bigger and the songs are louder. I don't know what it is exactly, but it always seems to be bigger in America.
On a bigger scale. You have one of those 50-foot inflatable Santas in front of your house, Matt?
No, I don't have any of those yet, but I'm sure we will in good time.
As a newly married person, have you borrowed any Christmas traditions or customs from your wife?
I haven't borrowed them because I don't particularly enjoy them, but my wife absolutely loves this one thing that her mum makes. I've tried it once. It is not for me. It's called a Jell-O mold. So you do Jell-O on the bottom with, I think it's got celery in it. Then you put a layer of cream cheese, and then the next layer of Jell-O is with walnuts in it. My wife and her family love it. I do not like it, but that's okay.
Oh, man, that's hilarious. I would not like that either, but I do know what you're talking about. Are you a Christmas guy or not? How do you feel about the holiday?
Yeah, I like Christmas Day. I don't like the build-up to and from it. I sound like a real Scrooge or a real Grinch here, but like to me, it's another day. Maybe it'd be different when I have kids, but I feel like I'm at an age now where it's like once you get to like 16, 17, you kind of like, okay, Christmas is very different, and I'm obviously 31 now, and hopefully that changes when kids are involved.
It usually does. You're probably thinking like, I just want to get out and golf. Come on.
I want to, yeah, a regular routine. I'm a big routine guy, so yeah, it throws me off.
How about, do you like any holiday movies or songs?
Yeah, I love Die Hard. Die Hard's a great Christmas movie. That's what everyone.
Good. And you believe it's a Christmas movie. Yeah.
No, I don't mind that.
Patrick has said, it's a Christmas movie.
I like Love Actually is always a good one. My dad really likes that one, so I enjoy that one. I think that's a good one too. So I don't like The Grinch. The Grinch, I think, is a scary movie. Really creepy in my mind.
Do you think Love Actually, does that portray England pretty well?
I think it does, actually. Yeah, I think it does. I think it does a really good job. It's a good cast.
Well, that's good. That's nice to know. Any special plans or anything for this season?
We're actually going back to the UK. We're not going to Sheffield. We're going to a hotel down south to have Christmas. So my parents will come down, my grandparents, and my cousin, and then my wife's family will come over as well. So we'll all go down there and have like 3 or 4 days in the UK. And yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. We're really looking forward to it.
Do they do kind of old English?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, I would say it's a little bit more old school for sure. Yeah, I would say so. They'll decorate the hotel and you have a big tree and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, definitely be more old school down there for sure.
That'll take a little bit of the Grinch off, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Then I hope you don't mind me asking, are you recognized there? Do people come up to you on the street?
I don't know. We'll see. I'll have to let you know, Bob. I'll have to let you know. I, in England, it's not too bad. I would argue I probably get recognized more in America than I do in England, actually. I think golf media is bigger over in this country than it is in the UK. It's all good fun, as long as people are polite.
You've been so generous with your time. I really appreciate it.
This has been fun, Bob. I appreciate you having me on. Obviously, always great to spend time with any of the Bakers. It's been a lot of fun, and have a great new year, and hopefully see you all soon.
All right, Bob, it's time for some trivia.
It's trivia. Ooh, it's trivia.
Our stickers are small and overlooked, alone and hiding in the shadows. They stick to any surface in the crowded and grimy streets of the city, trying to find a way to survive and to leave their mark in this harsh world. Despite their poverty, they cling stubbornly, enduring the cold and the hunger. Beneath their modest appearance lies a surprising toughness and grittiness, but they still need to be loved and to find a real home. You can provide them this home for just the lowly price of answering our festive foreign film fact. At first, we thought go with something easy, you know, to stick with the royal family since they have so many odd facts and details, like no branches on their trees. Like how William I, the first king of England, passed a law requiring that everyone be in bed by 8 p.m. Or how King Richard the Lionhearted couldn't speak English and spent little time in England. Or how King Edward had the Prince of Wales executed so he could give the title to his son. Hey, why not? Or how King Edward II banned football because it was a distraction from archery.
Good thinking.
Good thinking. Or how King George V had a dragon tattoo on his arm. Or King Henry VIII destroyed a whole village to build Nonsuch Palace. Or that Queen Anne of England was pregnant 17 times. Or even how the current King Charles II has an official champion to fight on his behalf in case there's a duel. But that just seemed way too easy.
Hey, Mark, would you be my champion?
Sure, Bob. After you get a tattoo of me in a prominent place. Next, we did think to ask you if you knew soccer originally came from the 19th century England and was the term used by the upper class, whereas the working and middle class preferred the word football.
Isn't that crazy? I always thought soccer was our word.
So did I. Yeah. I actually did too. And how since 1199, two counties in England have held an annual competition called the Arthurstone ball game, in which participants from each town fight over a giant football for 2 hours with only two rules: to be played in a certain street and no killing.
Good rule.
Then we thought we might quiz you on the reason why pubs in England have such unusual names, because back in medieval times, most people were illiterate, but they could recognize pictures. So pubs would have names like the Boot and Castle or Fox and Hound.
I never knew that. That makes such sense, though.
Totally. Or we thought about testing your knowledge on the annual mayor weigh-in in High Wycombe, England, where at the beginning of every mayor's term, and this is coming to Trout Valley, his or her weight is taken publicly and the weight is recorded.
Oh, my gosh.
And the next year, when the mayor's once again weighed in front of a town, a town crier will announce whether the weight has gone up, down, or stayed the same. Hear ye, all gathered here in the Lodge of Trout Valley.
Oh, my
gosh. Mayor Bob comes in. You just pay me in beer, and I'll say, it's coming less again.
Oh, good. That no one would believe you, though.
This activity was first introduced in 1678 as a way to discover corruption and to see if the mayor was getting fat off the taxpayers.
Oh, uh-oh. They're going to be stampeding on my house with torches.
We even considered pressing to see if you knew about the unusual fad in 18th century England, where the wealthy would hire ornamental hermits to wander their land and act eccentric for guests' amusement.
Where do we apply? I could do that.
My God, that's our calling.
Yes.
I might even do it for free.
I'll just have a card. Yes, what do you do? I'm an ornamental hermit.
But no, instead, we thought to ask something much simpler. When you hear the phrase, close your eyes and think of England, what is it used for? If you know it is the best of times, it is the worst of times, for you will have won yourself a sticker to fill your bleak house. When you finally take it in your hand, and your heart will feel lightened. You will no longer be an orphan, but instead will be a child of humanity. For even in a world of great expectations, the greatest of all is the hope that someone, somewhere, still cares. So send your answers to festivefans@gmail.com. So Bob, before we leave, let me just share with you a thought. In heaven, all the children sing and church bells ring. Snow falls in heaven, but is nice and warm. Everyone in heaven looks smart and wears a tie. Every day in heaven is Christmas.
Who said that?
So this is from a song, and to keep in the theme of today's show, this is a song called Christmas in Heaven, sung by the cast of Monty Python.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's awesome. I love that.
So for the next two episodes, as we sign off, we'll be playing and recording our live Christmas show from December 19th. You're going to get to hear great interviews from our special guest, Jackie Kostick from CBS News in Chicago, and Daryl Postolik from the TikTok phenomenon called Cooking with Daryl. He's got a couple million TikTok followers. You're going to hear festive sound from the Mayberries, which is a local band in our area, and maybe some fun things from Bob and I. Of course, you're going to get to hear Jake the Sound Pounder sing a song. Have a nice, safe, and warm New Year's. So you want to take a moment to say thank you. Thank you for listening to us, for laughing at us. I mean, laughing with us, for letting us be a small part of your lives. It means more than you know. Whether you're surrounded by family, with friends, or on your own today, we hope this season has filled your heart with warmth and peace. If it has been a hard year or you're missing someone, know that you're not alone. Bob, anything else you would add?
The festive fans are here to offer you hope, comfort, laughter, and love throughout the whole year. Mark, you've had me weeping openly with your message, and your present is out front, not parked, and not with a bow on it.
Huh. We better say goodnight so I can go out and see what that is.
And go start it? Oh, no, I mean, and open it.
Go open it.
Actually, we're done.
Done.
It's over. Over, over. It's over.
It's over. Kaput. Finito.
It's over. Over.
This has been a Waysound Studio production.
And sound engineering on our show is by Jake Fontana.